Whatever that boy said, lessons from the lathe. A redo. Time number four. I'm having some audio problems on my laptop, so let's see if this one works. Because this is my last chance at it. I love you all, but Sefer Devarim is quite unique. We daven for the cholim of the whole world, but specifically those suffering corona, those suffering specifically in financial difficulties, emotional difficulties. Rabbanu Sholem should send them refuahs and yeshuas. Sefer Devarim is so interesting because it is called Mishnah Torah. Rav Hirsch didn't like the term that Mishnah Torah means repetition of the Torah. He felt that this was actually something quite new. In fact, it was Moshe speaking to Klal Yisrael, like a Navi speaks to the nation. And he said that, Rav Hirsch says that it's the introduction to the new life in Eretz Yisrael. Things are going to be different. Because once we cross the Yarden, we wouldn't have the miraculously daily acts that happen in the Midbar. We're not going to have the man and the slav. We're not going to have the divine fire, the cloud. We're not going to have what we used to have. Our clothing is not going to grow on us and be freshly laundered. We're going to have to plow, plant, and harvest. We have to establish courts and governments. We're going to have to forge social relationships, protect the needy and helpless. V'chulu, v'chulu. As Rav Soloveitchik says, the Unkelus interprets Pashgan de Araisa, a copy of the Torah, clarifying and explains the Torah in itself, more of a Torah Sheba Al Peh of what the Torah was telling us. Moshe acts as his name, Rabbeinu, a teacher. The conduct of Hashem's words is not just said verbatim, but he's explaining the words like a teacher does. And in one of those ways, he explains the incident of the spies, and of course, bemoans how we reacted as much of Sefer Devarim cautions us. And Moshe tells us, you approached me and you said, to your life, you all came to me and you said that B'tomer Nishlach Hanashim. I said, okay, let's scout out the land. And I thought it was a good idea. And what happened? They took the report and they took these beautiful fruits. They came to us, Vayeshuvo Itanu. Davar v'yamru, tova ha'aretz, asher Hashem alokecha, tova ha'aretz, how beautiful is the land, asher Hashem alokecha nosein lino, that He's given us. V'lo avichem la'alot. But you didn't want to go. You didn't like that report. And what did you say? You turned away from Hashem. You went in your tents privately, as we'll learn, not in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you gave an ill faded report in a Bechila Doris, as we'll explain. There's a little bit of a problem, maybe an obvious problem. First of all, Rashi already says, Tova Haaretz, Mihem Sha'amru Tovata. Who said that? Yoshua and Caleb. The other spies did not have a positive report. Now, it's true that the Sfarno disagrees, and the Sfarno says, Vi'amru Tova Haaretz. So, says the Sfarno, well, Afilu harishayim hodiyu. They admitted, even the 10 other spies, betovato. They explained how beautiful the land was because they did call it the Eretz of Achalav Dvash. But the question's obvious. Rav Amnon Bazak of Gush Etzion, Yeshiva Har Etzion, the great student of Rav Amital, who's your site with yesterday, explains the obvious here. Where was the negative report? What happened? Why didn't he tell it like it is? He didn't want to tell Lashon Hara about what happened, and anyway, the spies weren't here. No. It was a fault of the nation. It was the reaction that Moshe points out was the problem. Not what the spies came back and said, it's how you reacted to it. And let's understand what that means. It's true, Rashi says what Rashi says. But the Ramban has a different interpretation. The Torah Aruch quotes the Ramban, and he says, because of a Ramban, ani ta'amti, ma tana hazot alehim, ki ro shi amru, v'asara yoter. He says, what did they exactly do wrong? How can one accuse the entire people for believing the majority report of the 10 spies? How can that be?
Perhaps Moshe's accusation against the people was for believing the 10 spies. That they believed them. L'hamin achreihem pri moirech libam. Why did they believe them? For didn't they know that they had Hashem on their side? Didn't they realize that, number one, Yeshua and Kalev were the ultimate of Nevi'im? But more than that, they believed them. They believed that a war would annihilate them. And Moshe was giving them Musar and said, it's not important what I said, what they said, excuse me, the spy said. You slandered the land inside your tents, not in front of me because you were scared and you knew the word of Hashem. And by the way, it was the men, not the women. But it was an earshot from me. And everybody heard the crying. And then there was Bechiya B'doris. Why were you afraid? God was on your side. I'm not blaming anybody else but you. And this is what the Or HaChaim says. The Or HaChaim says, V'hanochon al pi dvarehem, says Chazal, in Tanis Chavtes, V'yivchu ha'am b'layla zeh. This is chus of learning the last few, the last parak together with my son, who's going to be Messiah. Aaron's going to be Messiah, the Meseches Tanis Simir Tzashem, in the next few days. And you learn about this build-up to when the spies went out, and now it's Erev Tisha B'Av, what they don't know to be Tisha B'Av. And they come back with the port, V'yivchu b'layla hazeh. They only cried. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. And it was that night they went back to their tents and started crying. And everybody heard the crying and hysteria started. Kavu b'chiyah b'doiris. By the way, it says b'chiyah b'doiris. That's why the Beis HaMikdash, that's why this day would be a bad day and two of the Beis HaMikdash, they would be destroyed. Why? Because of the b'chiyah. Because of the unwanted crying. And I'll give you a reason to cry. Not what the spy said. We always look at what the spy said as the problem. No, the problem was the reaction. Says the Ramban. Says the Or HaChaim, excuse me, but the Omru Od, Gemara in Sota, startling Gemara on Daf Tes. She'im haya nichnas Moshe le'eretz la'aretz. If they would have said, yeah, okay, they said what they said. We believe Kalev. We believe Yoshua. We're going to win. We have Hashem on our side. Let's remember what happened in Egypt. Nichnas Moshe la'aretz haya boyne beis hamigdash. You wouldn't be hearing the story about Bayis Sheni and yearning, pining for Bayis Shlishi because there would only be one bias and it would still be up now. Lo haya habayis nichrav she'ein umel l'shono negdolo. Nobody could destroy us. Nobody could do anything because we had Moshe come into the land and we were the nation who had the ultimate emuna. Says the Or HaChaim, isn't it fascinating? The Midrash in Tehillim. Mizmor la'asaf, Elohim boy goyim. They came into our Beis HaMikdash and destroyed it. They made it into a ultimate Chil Hashem location of what they did there. Kina la'asaf. It's a kina, lamentation. Salvecha comments on this. What happened over here? Ella al she'eshliach ha'motol eitzim ve'avonim. Oh, but ultimately he took it out on eitzim ve'avonim. He didn't take it out on human beings. He didn't destroy the Jewish people, even though they sinned greatly. Mi'ata im haya nichnas Moshe. But if Moshe was there, they couldn't do anything. It would be an ultimate mizmor because they couldn't do anything. They could have come, the Romans, the Babylonians. Doesn't matter. Don't you understand? By you not believing in Hashem, what was caused here? The ramifications of this? Begalchem. This is happening. And to this, Rav Moshe Feinstein comments on this idea and expounds on what we've been saying, that the report of the spies was Tovaharet. Once the spies reported that the land was good, so to speak, verifying Hashem's promise, by the way, from way back when, from the times of Avram Avinu, they shouldn't have had the interest in what else the spies had to say. The inhabitants of the land will be formidable enemies. Who cares? They knew very well that it makes no difference to Hashem whether his enemies are powerful as the Egyptians were, who he sank in the sea, or thousands times more. Hashem can do anything. It doesn't matter. We saw what happened. We saw the Eser Makos. The people's doubt in Hashem's ability to fulfill His promise and to give them the land amounted to a wicked insurrection on the part of the Jewish people. On no account should they have listened to the spies. This is why Moshe did not bother to repeat what the warnings of the spies were, and how strong the inhabitants were, and how difficult it was to dislodge them from the land, because the Jews should have totally ignored them. They were absolutely of no value to even mitigate the seriousness of the people's sins. Once again, it was the people. Don't blame other people, it was them. And his great son, of Moshe's son, Hashem should send refuah shleima to Rav David Feinstein, Koldo the Parparot L'Chachma, is a beautiful sefer that talks about the always a little gematria. So he says that the pasuk says, if you the Tova Aretz Asher Hashem Elokeinu Nosei Lanu. What's this Lanu? So when we tell the story, the dangers that were associated with the land that we learn in Parsha Shlach, Moshe makes it clear that the results of the spies' report is that the people resisted entering the land. They were forced to remain in the desert for 40 years because they believed the words of the spies. The Torah tells us that there's something different about the land. Why they could have listened to what they had to say, but it didn't matter. Because don't we know that it says beautifully in Sefer, Sefer Devarim, Parsha Se'ekev, Yod Aleph, Yod Bet, Ha'aretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doirish Ota. This land is unbelievably different. Hashem seeks it out. The eyes of Hashem is always on the land. It's a different land, says the Ramban. There are droughts in all countries, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's all Hashem. It's our tefillah, Gemara Tanis, of what we have to do together. And when it rains, it's so much more special. Chol she'yirape, so much more special when you have the miracle of the person getting a person who was ill, Rachman al-Aslan from Corona, and tells the story. Rabbi Ginsburg told the story in Mishpacha magazine. Amazing, the story shows how Hashem's hand was there, the tefillos of the people. That's what Eretz Yisrael is. We have to be so conscious of Hashem's presence in this land. And it's all dependent on that. Such goodness is not a natural phenomenon. It is a goodness that depends upon conduct that people live there. If Hashem is pleased with that, we are assured blessing of plenty. But if He's not pleased, well, we know what's happened in history. We're reduced to a barren wasteland. And therefore, the spies' report are so not important. You know what's important about it? That the land was beautiful. Tova ha'aretz asher Hashem Elokeinu. In Eretz Yisrael, we never rely on anything as natural. We don't have any natural resources. Those are all the countries around us. Our prices of gasoline are 4 times other countries. But we have Hashem's hand. And therefore, it's all dependent on that last word, lanu. Because lanu is the gematria of 86, equivalent to Elokim. Elokim, because it says Elokeinu here. That's the Hashem of judgment as opposed to Yud Kei Vav Kei, the God of Rachamim. The essence of the spies of the world, do not go to Eretz Yisrael, because if you do, how do you know Hashem will have mercy? He's the Shem of Elokeinu. No, we say Lanu, because we have Hashem. Bereishis Bara Elokim, yes, that's true. But ultimately, Hashem took mercy on us. And that's what we have to recognize and realize, that that's the uniqueness of the land that we live in. And this is a speech equal, if not more so, than those that live in Eretz Yisrael. Because we often get comfortable in the land and say, everything's great here, really. And we forget that when we have the zchus of visiting the Kotel, there is a demonstrative sign on the Kotel of Shulim Hochimbo, worse than the Navi tells us. Another religion there. Another tefillah that they have there. That
as Rav Soloveitchik points out in the controversy over saying Nachem or not, with the words Bezuya. It's not a year Bezuya anymore. He says, most certainly is. When you have that on the Makom HaMikdash, when you have churches in Yerushalayim, we need to have the emunah and the faith that Hashem will protect us, and we need the third Beis HaMikdash. We can't be satisfied with what we have, whether we're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz La'aretz. And when we talk about Sinas Chinam, we have to say, not because of what they did, what can I do to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash with my Ahavas Chinam? How can I bring back the Dalad Amos Shal Halacha? How can I bring Shalom Birchu Batorah Techila? How can I strengthen my learning? It's all about me. Don't look at with a spies report. It's that I don't have the emunah and faith. Do I really believe Yanech Hashem the Yom Sarah, that we're in the Yom Sarah of Shmuel Yahweh pointed out in today's lessons from the Leiv points out that of all the tefillos that we say during this time, he says, yes, there's the V'hurachum, which is so special. If you read the words on Mondays and Thursdays, there was a customer, Shmuel Eliyahu, who says that people would read this in other times at Sarah, just stam, because it was so powerful, the V'hurachum. As we know, the compilation of it, said at different times of difficulty. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia. But Dafka, between Ashrei Uvalet Zion, we say the tefillah of Lam Lamatzeach, because it's so special and unique to Hillel Chaf. Because what are we saying? Yanecha Hashem b'yom sarah, Gecha Shem Elokei Yisrael. It's the birth pangs of Mashiach. And Elokei Yaakov dafka, because who's Yaakov, of course? Yaakov is that ultimate protector of Gullus, because he's the one who had to go into Gullus. He had to go down to Mitzrayim. He was the one who invented Mayruv, the tefillah of darkness. And of course, he had sons who couldn't get along with each other, which we suffer till today, Mechiras Yosef. But ultimately, what do we say? The birth pangs of Mashiach, as his father of Mordechai Eliyahu said, 12 o'clock Mashiach's coming, it's 11:50 something right now. But when you have the baby finally, you're so joyful. Yes, it's true, she brings a korban, because sometimes she makes comments and promises that she'll never have children again, but ultimately, after a few minutes of seeing this baby, everything was forgotten, even though that birth pangs was so, so difficult. That's what we're asking the Rabbanu Shalom for. Bring us Yishlach Vizecha Mikodesh, the Kodesh HaKadosh HaMetzion Yisadecha. Remember the Mincha's offering, the Olascha, Yidash HaTzena. And what a line that I think is so powerful, Eile Barecha V'Eile Basusim. Yes, all the other nations have their chariots, and every other Arab country on the face can destroy us with their chariots and their susim. But what we have is Hashem on our side. We could have the greatest army in the world, but that's not really what's going to win. Yisrael batach b'Hashem. Because Hema Karuv and Afalo, they have come and been dropped on their knees. Doesn't matter who you are. You can be an NFL star, or you could be a canon star, if you will. You could be a star on TV and say hateful things. We recognize Hashem Hoshia. God save us, HaMelech, because He is our King, Yaneinu B'Yom Karein. But there has to be a belief that I want something better. There has to be a wanting for the Beis HaMikdash. We pointed out that magic number of 86 of Rav David Feinstein. I pointed out a week ago Rav Bitterman's line, my mother liked his tlita, of Bitachon is 75. You know why? Because we always complain, Lama, Mayiyeh, also 75, Gematrias. That shows a lack of bitachon. Why is this happening? Mayiyeh, what's going to be? And we're in that time. If we know anything about Corona, it's the most certain thing is uncertainty. We forgot about uncertainty, because everything has to work perfectly. I have to be able to get on a plane like this, on the drop of a dime, and be able to get into the country. And now no non-citizen can come into this country. When has that happened in the history of the Jewish people? Things are uncertain. What will our Rosh Hashanah look like? We don't know. But one thing we know is the uncertainty is that Hashem is behind everything. We need to have emunah and bitachon that we want the third Beis HaMikdash, that we pine for it. It's something that we actually want. We want Mashiach now. We don't want to wait. We can't wait. We can't be complacent with the situation of where we are. Don't blame the spies. Blame yourself. You're Bechia Bedois. What are you crying over? Have Amun in Hashem. And that's what we ask for, that bracha during this very difficult time. And yes, we should see Eretz Yisrael in its beautiful light that it's in, and the great stories that are told, and the people that are helping. I saw this unbelievable, those hundreds, thousands of people, I should say, that are making Aliyah this summer. And the meal train that's going in our own community, 14 days are going to be in, every single meal is taking care of them. And last week, the great story about the man who had yurtzeit, but couldn't daven in his shul because he's too old, it's not safe for him. So he wanted to take a minyan outside, and he got six, seven, finally gets eight people. They're all waiting there. He runs into a restaurant. He says to the waiter, can you take a few minutes off to daven? He says, I can't daven. He goes, this is a treif restaurant. He says, the restaurant's treif. You're not treif. Come on. He goes, okay, let me ask my boss. He asks the owner. And the owner says, not only can he go, I'll join you. Great stories, but we're not there yet. We got to move further. Birth pangs. Don't be happy with where we are. The wake-up call of Corona. Don't be happy. We need to move forward. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zeicha that this Bayis Shlishi should be like the Bayis Rishon was supposed to be. We'll be never nichrav, because we'll always have that ultimate faith, and everybody could come, but they will fall to their knees. Because Hashem Hoshia, HaMelech Ya'aneinu, B'yom Kareinu.